activities through the MHSA Scholar Athlete Award. The applicants are in the running for a total of 32 $1,000 college scholarships, one of which was won last year by Howland High's Connor Boss. Now, the deadline for submissions has passed. Now, the C and D schools, the winners were announced today by the MHSAA, and the lone representative from the Southwestern Athletic Conference among the member schools is a winner. We talked a little bit about Stephen McKenzie, played a couple of times against Saugatuck for the Marcellus Wildcats in football, and he is an MHSAA Scholar Athlete winner. He'll be honored along with the other winners at the Breslin Center in East Lansing during the boys basketball finals on March 22nd. A message from the Michigan High School Athletic Association promoting the value and values of educational athletics and the Holland stations of Midwest Communications. See, Michael's our producer. I'm Gary Stevens. Glad you're able to join us for Saugatuck High girls basketball. Both teams back out to the floor, and we'll get the second half underway in a moment. It's Waterville 20 and Saugatuck 12. Girls High School basketball on 92.7 The Van and 92.7thevan.com.
The Saugatuck Athletic Boosters are proud to sponsor the Indians, and they're proud of the Saugatuck Public Schools, a Blue Ribbon school district with state and national award-winning programs and a tradition of excellence on and off the athletic field. The Saugatuck area is one of America's top 50 great places to raise kids, and the Saugatuck Public Schools are a major positive factor. Personal instruction, cutting-edge classroom technology, it's all at Saugatuck Public Schools. Good luck, Indians, from the Saugatuck Athletic Boosters.
It takes a total team effort to be successful in any game. Randy's Carpet Care has a team of professionals ready to provide you with the service you deserve. Voted best carpet cleaner in the Best of West Michigan poll, Randy's Carpet Care provides top quality work at a reasonable price with your satisfaction guaranteed. Call Randy's Carpet Care at 392-1400 for all your carpet and upholstery cleaning. That's Randy's Carpet Care. Call 392-1400 and join the winning team.
We'll begin the second half. Saugatuck and their home whites, Waterville 8 and their road maroon. Saugatuck will be moving right to left. Jocelyn Silva and Carenza Hoffmeyer in the backcourt. Christina Moore and Kaylee Garris will flank Morgan Bush up front. Starting five out for Saugatuck, and a pass inside for Bush deflected into the hands of Haley Wenzel. Turnover against a tie-up situation. Ball goes to Waterville 8. So the Indians down 6, but feeling that they can grasp the game by the scruff of the neck if they can hit some of their shots, but haven't been doing so today. Front court, McMiller. Cross court for Schultz. Triple left side. Gatted left side. Three trays for Schultz. 9 points for her. 23-14. And as Silva brings it over the timeline, she gets squeezed out of bounds by Wenzel, and Wenzel commits the foul. It's the first on Haley. 6:24 to go in the third. Indians down 9. 23-14 to Waterville 8, and Saugatuck with the basketball. Hoffmeyer, Garris, left side, Silva, triple from there, short. Rebound easy for Rodriguez. No Indian was in the back end. Bush was looking for a rebound on the short side. Here's McMiller. She did a bunny hop on that side and coughed it over. 17 turnovers, only 5 points for Saugatuck off of them. Silva's trying to change all that as she'll bring it over the timeline, walking it. Silva with the dribble. Between the rings, Hoffmeyer, deflected pass in the hands of Moore, left side, in for Bush. Bush drives around one defender into an open Garris, who banks it up and in. 4 points for Kaylee. Indians finally get a basket off of the turnover. Now 5 points off of turnovers. Indians down 7 at 23-16. And another steal as Hoffmeyer steps in front of a pass in midcourt to Silva. Triple from the left side, no. Rebound, Bush puts it back up high off the glass, no. Another long rebound. Silva can't save, but doesn't need to. It's a Saugatuck basketball. So the Indians have gotten two baskets off of two turnovers in the second half by Waterville 8, and they're trying to get another one here. Bush into the lane, pulls up, banks it. No, a little too hard. Ball out of bounds off of the hands of McMiller. It stays Saugatuck. Nope, it's going to be deflected off of Garris' hands, and it'll be Waterville 8 basketball. 5:24 to go in the third quarter. Indians down 7 to visiting Waterville Elite. 4-7 Waterville Elite, 8-3 Saugatuck. But both coming into the game was considered to be an evenly tossed-up game, and we've seen that. Waterville Elite is playing better basketball than the 4-7 record would indicate. Here's Andres. Deflected pass into the hands of Moore. Turnover, fourth already in the quarter and 19th in the game for Waterville Elite. Bush into the front court for Moore. Right side, Hoffmeyer. Waits for help. Gets a nice feed from Bush. Right baseline jumper, no good. Garris pushed down Rodriguez out of bounds, and Kaylee gets up her third foul. So the first foul, first player with three fouls on either side is Kaylee Garris of Saugatuck. 4:52 to go in the third. Indians down 7, 23-16. Waterville Elite with the basketball moving left to right. In the road maroons, white numerals outlined in white and white trim. Pressure at midcourt, McMiller picks it up between the circles. Left side plays catch with Schultz. McMiller running the offense right now. Gets a pick, passes it right side, too hard for Katie Schultz, out of bounds. Turnover against Waterville Elite. Indians trying to do something about a 7-point deficit. Silver over the timeline, picks up the dribble on the right side, needs help. Pass for Garris, knocked out of bounds by McMiller of Waterville Elite into the Saugatuck bench. Saugatuck ball. Indians just look out of sorts tonight. Their shots haven't been falling. A lot of deflected passes. Here's Silva in the lane, in for Bush. Cross court for Garris. Fade away from the left side. No. Rebound. Jostled there. Out of bounds. Off of the hands of Wenzel. Stay Saugatuck basketball. We'll get a quick substitution for Waterville Elite. Kelsey Griffith had a very strong first half. 4 points off the bench. The 6 foot senior, the six foot senior comes in. And Andres gets the break. In for Bush on the inbounds. Banks it, no good. Indian shots just not falling. And Griffith cleans glass for Waterville Elite. Rodriguez over the timeline. Right side, McMiller. Jaden plays catch with Schultz. Has a little problems handling the basketball. Gets up from Wenzel. Right corner, lobs it in. Deflected off of the hands of Bush into the hands of Moore. Turnover, Waterville Elite. Back the other way comes Garris. She drives, and McMiller is back to block Garris's layup attempt and knock out of bounds. Alexa Parker, the 5'9 senior, comes in. And she'll give Wenzel a break. So it's McMiller and Parker, Griffith, Rodriguez, and Schultz on the floor for Waterville Elite. Indians still with their starting five. Silva, Hoffmeyer, Garris, Moore, and Bush. Moore, Bush in the lane. Right side for Garris. Banks it up. Banks it in. Calls contact to the foul. Ooh, that was a big basket there. 6 points for Garris. The foul is on Alexa Parker. That's her first. And so Garris, foul line left, will try to make it a 4-point game. Indians already with 6 points off of turnovers. They're trying to make it 7. Does not do so. Rebound deflected long into the hands of Bush for Saugatuck. Try with another chance to get points. Pass deflected off of Bush and goes right into Waterville Elite's hands, and that is Parker with the steal for the Panthers. So they dodge a little bit of a bullet there. Front court, McMiller. Triple from the top of the circle. No. Line drive. Rebound loose, and we got a foul underneath. Griffith and Bush going at it, and Bush is going to get her third foul. And she doesn't know why, but so now Bush with three, Garris with three, both on the floor. What we saw in the first half when the girls got two fouls early in the second quarter, we saw Saugatuck get into a zone. McMiller in the inbounds, triples top of the circle, no. Bush trying to get the rebound, and finally does. She'll dribble it over the timeline, McMiller on him, her, and then McMiller pushed on her. But it's going to be an offensive push. And two fast fouls on Bush. That's an interesting call there. So Bush with four fouls now. Turnover number 18 against Saugatuck. And Kevin Tringali's frustration level has just been quadrupled. McMiller over the timeline. Pass deflected. Bush tries to steal, can't do so. Silva on the floor forces a tie-up with Darby Jones, the 5'6 junior on for Waterbury, and turnover goes against the Panthers. So now with four fouls, Bush has to sit down. Katie Slayer needs extra extended minutes. Katie, a 5'8 junior, she's going to be dwarfed a little bit by the 6-foot Griffith, and the Indians will need to compensate on that. McMillan, now we're going to get a T called against the Saugatuck bench, and Kevin Bengali says, I'm not certain what I did. So Tringali, the coach of Saugatuck, gets the T. And that's a turnover against the coach. Indians now with four turnovers in the quarter and 19 in the game. Foul line right, two shots, Katie Schultz. Makes the first. Schultz leading the Panthers with 10 points now. Katie's high water mark is 10. That equals her season high. She's eclipsed it with her 11th point. 13 points off of 19 turnovers for Waterbury tonight. So Panthers basketball on the turnover off of the tee by Kevin Tringali. Inbounds goes to Waterbury's Case Cassie Gores in the lineup. Cassie, the 5'5 freshman. And we get more setting, trying to get through a pick, and we get a foul called on her. Second foul on Moore. And the bonus lights on already for Waterbury. So we'll have free throws going. Indians down 7 at 25-18. Things aren't looking good for the girls in white and blue. Foul line right will be Schultz, who just sank a pair. The red-headed ponytailed Schultz drops the front end of the 1-1. This could be a 4-point turnover on the tee by Kevin Tringali. Misses the second, though. Rebound for Katie Slayer. Front court Silva over the timeline. Round one defender, right side to Moore. Christina back to Silva. Silva using a Moore pick, can't use it effectively, and throws it right in the hands of Schultz. And a foul in the, we have a double dribble called against Schultz as he tried to set it out. Turnovers, 20 for Saugatuck, 23 for Waterbury. Difference? Waterbury, 14 points off of the 20 turnovers. Saugatuck, 9 points off of their, off of the Waterbury turnovers. Garris playing on three fouls. Hoffmeyer. Waterbury in a zone. They're leading by 8, and why not? Garris from inside the arc jumper. Got it. 8 for Kaylee. Indians up, down 6. Minute 55 to go first half. The third quarter, I should say. Schultz dribbles it over the Gore dribbles over the timeline into no girls lands and hits the sideline out of bounds. 9 turnovers in the quarter and 24 in the game for Waterbury. Right now, that's keeping Saugatuck in this game. Shooting has been very poor tonight. Over the timeline is Silva. To the foul line. Jumper is an air brick. Rebound Katie Slayer. But she touched her foot on the baseline and getting that loose carom. And turn the ball goes over to Waterbury. Inbounds to Gore. Pressure at full court for Saugatuck, and it causes a turnover as the ball goes over the head of Derby Jones out of bounds. Minute 33 to go in the third quarter. Waterbury 26, Saugatuck 20. Indians moving right to left. Here's Slayer. Trying to get around Knight, and is held up by Kirsten. First foul for Knight. Only the fourth for the Panthers in the half. So it's an inbound situation for the Indians. And without Morgan Bush on the bench with four fouls, three fouls already on the floor is Kaylee Garris. She'll inbound. Deflected pass to Moore, to Silva. Triple on the right side, partially blocked. Rebound snatched away by Griffith. Outlets out. Here's a triple left side. Finally, foot is on the line. was by Schultz, and Schultz gets the basket. That is 14 for her, season high. 28-20, Waterfleet now with the lead. Here's Garris, hoists a three from the right side, rings off. Rebound deflected by Hoffmeyer. Gore tries to save it, hits the sideline, out of bounds to Saugata. So right now the Indians, without their anchor in the middle, that's Bush because of fouls. And the offense, which has already been a little out of sorts tonight, is just needing to find some way of getting going. Hoffmeyer travels as she tries to figure out how to which direction to move the basketball. Carenza, the 5'6 junior, made a mistake that an 11th grader will make, a 12th grader probably will not make next year. 50 seconds to go. Ball deflected in the backcourt. Still in the backcourt for Waterfleet. They want the 10-second call. They don't get it. Schultz in for a wide-open ripper. Season high, 6 for her. And it's 30-20. The biggest lead for Waterfleet is 10. Half a minute to go in the third quarter. Hoffmeyer, left side Moore. In for Slayer. Into an open Garris. Banks it up. No draws. Contact foul. Kirsten Knight with the violation there. And Kaylee Garris needing to provide some offense. She has 8 already, her season high on the season, her season high for Garris. Is 13. She'll drop the front end of the two-shot foul. One more coming for Kaylee. The 5'9 junior. Second one rings off. Moore tries to get the rebound. Went off of the hands of Griffith out of bounds to Saugata. So in an offensive situation, Bush with 4 fouls returns for Slater. For Slater, I should say. Garris will inbounds. Deep Hoffmeyer. On the right side, Carenza gets it to Jocelyn Silva. Pass for Bush, deflected back into the hands of Silva. 13 seconds to go in the quarter. Bush, high post right. Open is Hoffmeyer. Shot is rejected. Rebound danced away by Schultz. Schultz trying to drive off of Garris. No good. Rebound Bush for Saugata. Bush will hoist a three-pointer from three-quarters court and is way short. But after three quarters of play, our score is Waterfleet 30 and Saugata 21. Listening to Saugatuck High Basketball on 92.7 The Band and 92.7TheBand.com. After three quarters, Saugatuck trailing 30-21, 14 points for Katie Schultz, 6 points for Kelsey Griffith, 5 points for Jaden McMiller. Leading the way for Saugatuck, Jocelyn Silva with 10 points. She hasn't scored. She scored 7 of those 10 in the first quarter. 9 points for Kaylee Garris, 2 points for Morgan Bush. That is 21 for Saugatuck. Only 3 players on the books tonight for the Tribe. Ball out of bounds on the inbounds against Waterfleet. 26 turnovers for the Panthers. Indians have scored 11 points off them. 21 turnovers against Saugatuck. Here's Bush playing with 4 fouls. Gets tied up by Griffith. The arrow is Saugatuck's way. So Bush playing maybe a little bit more tentative, making sure she doesn't get disqualified because of fouls. Inbound situation for Garris. Silva, triple left side, way short. Ball goes into the hands of Darby Jones of Waterfleet. Nobody leaves her alone, so she's all alone in the backcourt and dribbles it over the timeline. Cassie Gore, right side, foul line extended. Gets it inside for Griffith. Bulls her way up toward the basket. No good. Rebound tied up in the backcourt as Garris was two-timed by Knight and Griffith. Alternating possession keeps the ball in Waterfleet's hands. Panthers have been better team so far, and the scoreline reflects it. Inbound goes in the Knight. Underneath her shot, bounces around. No good. Rebound can't be saved by Schultz. Out of bounds goes to Saugata. Take better control of the basketball and can really have done a major hurt on Saugatuck. As it is, the lead is 9. The way that Saugatuck's been struggling offensively tonight, that might be a very high mountain to climb. Here's Kurt Hoffmeyer. Jumper from the left side. No, two on the LaFleur following foul by Griffith. First foul by Kelsey. She bowled over Hoffmeyer as she was taking the shot. Her foot was on the arc. But they say that it was a foul away from the ball in the follow-through, so it's not a shooting foul. Five fouls for Waterville. They have one to give. Inbounds off of Bush's hands to Moore to Silva. Dribbles it out for Hoffmeyer. Plays catch with Silva. Right side Garris. Right corner Hoffmeyer. Silva to Hoffmeyer. Lobs it for Bush. High post right jumper. Rings off no good. Rebound Kelsey Griffith. Stolen away by Garris. In for Bush. Langs it up. Banks it in. 4 points for Bush. And immediately we get a Michigan foul, 30-second timeout called by Kevin Tringali with 6:43 to go in the third quarter. His team down 7 at 30-23. Michigan Tile, winter sale, now on. Stop in at Michigan Tile. Indians and the Panthers doing battle tonight. Want to remind you that you can get behind the scenes in high school sports by checking out the second half section of MHSA.com. Features, information, MHSA finals coverage, and other interesting features make the second half a great starting point for high school sports information daily. A link on the homepage of MHSA.com for the second half. A message from the Michigan High School Athletic Association promoting the value and values of educational athletics and the Holland Stations of Midwest Communications. So, after that basket by Bush, giving her 4 points in the game, 13 points off of 27 turnovers by Saugatuck. Pressure is broken with a pass into McMuller. She'll pull up inside the arc and hit the jumper. McMuller with 7. The lead is again 9 at 32-23. Indians can't go swapping baskets now. They need some stops. They need some points. Low post left Bush. Moore. In the ring, Silva, right side with Garris. Back to Silva. Moving the ball quickly, but not being able to get the shots they want. Moore. Left side, Hoffmeyer. Bush. Garris. Inside the arc, left side jumper. Got it. Kaylee with 11. Indians by 7. Panthers by 7, 32-25. And on the play, falling awkwardly, is Alyssa Rodriguez. And she is going to be needing some medical attention. Jeff Riley comes over the coach, and it might have been a case of her landing on her ankle the wrong way, having done that a couple of times during my collegiate days at the University of Detroit. It is no fun, and hopefully it's not anything serious for the 5'5 junior Alyssa Rodriguez. And she'll be treated by the coach, and couple of Saugatuck staffers will be coming in to assist on the situation. There's some medical personnel that come to games, not in uniform, to deal with situations like this. 6:03 to go in the fourth quarter, and Saugatuck leads at 32-25. And Rodriguez will put her arm around the shoulder of her coach, and he will lead her back to the bench. And she's putting very little weight on the right ankle. And again, she looked as if she fell awkwardly on the Garris jumper from inside the arc on the left side. And she'll be replaced by Alyssa Simmons. So Simmons and Griffith, Schultz, McMiller, and Knight on the floor for Waterville. Bush and Garris, Moore, Hoffmeyer, and Silva, the five for Saugatuck. The starting five have gone much of the way tonight for the Indians. And maybe it's an indication of, frankly, the bench. Three players have scored. That's it. Garris with 11, Silva with 10, Bush with 4. That's 25 points right there. Indians down 5, 32-25. They'll put three-quarters court pressure as the inbound goes to McMuller. She is two-timed by the guard, Silva, and Hoffmeyer. Throws it into the front court to open space. It's filled by Simmons and can't get to the ball, though. 28 turnovers for Waterville. Whistle blows. Second tee against Kevin Tringali, and he's been told to exit the facility. Or is it against Tringali? It was one of the bench. So the second tee against Saugatuck's bench. It's already cost him 2 points and cost him another turnover. 22 turnovers against Saugatuck. Tringali, I'm not certain whether or not he got the tee or the bench or somebody else on the bench. First of two for Schultz is good. 15 already for Katie Schultz, which is a season high for her. 19 the team high. She misses the second. Tringali has been told he must exit the facility, so Kim Rumsa and Marlena Capitosto will be handling the chores here, coaching the rest of the way. Tringali is being escorted to Bill Dunn's office to talk things over with his boss in terms of his coaching boss. McMuller trying to use a pick from Griffith, and Griffith gets called for the moving pick. And she had an ailment early on against her. Sort of a elbow to the ribs, and she came down a little awkwardly. She's okay, but they're taking no chances. I mean, she's again in this situation. Indians trying to do something about a turnover. Here's Garris. Right side jumper, banks it in. Garris with 13 equals her season high. And the Indians force another turnover as McMiller walks with the ball. As we mentioned, 13 points a season high for Garris. Third time in a couple of weeks since she's hit 13. Third time in as many home games. She's at 13. And as Silva dribbles in between the rings, she draws contact and the foul. And it'll go up against Alyssa Simmons. First foul for Alyssa. Bonus light is down. So Silva down 6, 33-27 with 5:21 to go in the regulation. We foul line left. First of two for Silva is good. First point since the second quarter for Silva. She had 7 in the opening quarter. 10 by halftime. She now gets the first of the two-shot foul, trying to capitalize on another turnover, and does. Indians doing a better job of capitalizing on turnovers. They're down 4 for 33-29. Front court broken pressure is at Simmons. Simmons cross court throw open McMuller inside the arc jumper. No good. Rebound put back up and no good by Knight. Third crack, Knight walk with the basketball. 31 turnovers for Waterville. They still lead by 2, 33-29. So they're almost equaling their point total with their turnovers. But they still lead. Bush, high post right. Morgan to the foul line, and she was caught camping. First time all season, I'll say this, corny line. Morgan Bush called for having the pup tent and the Coleman lantern out. She camped. Pressure in the backcourt, Alyssa Simmons. Silva knocks it out of bounds. Marlena Capitosto, whose daughter is doing a nice job at the University of Toledo. Thank you very much. Running the team in the absence of Kevin Tringali, who got teed out of here. Triple is an air brick by Knight. Triple is an air brick by Simmons. And Knight tried to get the rebound and then dribble it on the baseline. We're going to have a Michigan foul timeout called by Coach Jeff Riley. His Michigan Tile winner sales stop in. And now a 4-point game. And a team that's been scuffling at 4-7. A nice win over Lawton, trying to build on that confidence. And they're seeing a Saugatuck Indian team starting to show the form that's given them an 8-4 report card. Boys game will follow as Tom Kaysen, along with his counterpart, Aaron Toothman of the Panthers, getting their teams ready. Tom's a big guy. Aaron Toothman is a little bit bigger, a little bit taller. Usually Tom doesn't take a back seat. Now, Bill Dunn is talking to the officials, the AD there. Scully is standing in the hallway. Before Bush gets allowed to butt in, Kevin Tringali is going to be allowed to walk back to the girls' locker room. Now, the girls' he can walk to the boys' locker room here and then go to the girls' locker room from that side, but the officials making sure Tringali has no say-so in the game. Silva gets the inbounds pass and is fouled in the backcourt. The foul is going to be on Simmons. That's her second. And so Silva back at the line. Indians down four with 4:37 to go in regulation. 33-29, and Silva will shoot the first of two. If it's 1-1, yes, the thing is 1-1. I said first of two because I was confident that Silva would make it. Yeah, believe me on that. Second one coming for Jocelyn. Two-point game. What was a 10-point lead is now down to two, 33-31. Indians now with the lead. Hawaii Indians down two as the press is broken. Drive by Simmons, no good. Rebound, tie-up situation. Arrow to Saugatuck between Griffith and Gires, and Saugatuck gets the ball. Learning lessons tonight for Jeff Riley's team. It'll be interesting to see how Saugatuck matches up again with head coach Kevin Tringali teed out. Silva over the timeline, right side off by Bush. In for Moore. Tina's had a tough night, off through her hands out of bounds. 24 turnovers for Saugatuck. They're down to 33-31, halfway through the fourth. McMiller in the backcourt. Flips it. Saved by Griffith in the backcourt, but she throws it right in the hands of Hoffmeyer, and she was fouled as she got the pass from Melissa Simmons. Simmons is the first Panther with three fouls. And Hoffmeyer, who has yet to score. In fact, the Indians have only had three scores on this game. We'll go foul line to left. That puts one of the lead at single bonus max. Two shots on every foul after this. Hoffmeyer drops the front end of the 2-1-1. First point of the night. She can make it a tie game. We've had one lead change, no time in this game. Second one is no good. Rebound. Stolen away from Bush by McMuller. Lobs it over for Schultz, a little too high, throws it out of bounds. 17 turnovers in the second half, 15 in the first, gives it 32 for Water of Elite. They have 33 points and they're up by one. 4 minutes to go exactly in regulation. Voice play after this one. Hoffmeyer, high post left four. Bush around the defender, puts on, flashes it in, Indians regain the lead. 6 points for Moore. Indians have a 34-33 lead. Pressure in the backcourt, broken by Darby Jones. Pulls up for the jumper left side, no long rebound, deflected on the floor, tie-up situation. And it's taken there by Tina Moore, and quickly, Kim Rumsa, the JV coach, is going to take command of the situation in place of Kevin Tringali. She'll run the team, Kim Rumsa will, and calls a Michigan tile timeout. Hope College basketball should be just as exciting maybe as this girls' game, but the boys' game should be, and probably will be tomorrow night at DeVos Fieldhouse. The Flying Dutchman welcome their best friends, or their greatest enemies. The Calvin Knights come calling. Knights and Dutchman tomorrow night, 7:40, here on 92.7 The Van and 92.7TheVan.com. Join Ron Weatherby and Adam Prince for all of the action. We'll be back with you next Tuesday night with high school basketball action here at Saugatuck High. Another doubleheader, the last of our doubleheaders for the season, as the Saugatuck Indians take on the Decatur Raiders. We'll be on the air at 5:10 here on 92.7 The Van and 92.7TheVan.com. So the Indians trying to capitalize on another turnover. 32 for Water of Elite. Saugatuck with the ball down 134-33 and with the basketball. Popped by in the front court with Silva. Garris, Bush trying to work around Griffin. Deflected ball in the air. Silva's got it on the left side. Waterville eating the man-to-man. Silva plays catch with Hoffmeyer. 3 minutes to go. Indians up one. They've been down as many as 10. Hoffmeyer, pass deflected off of Bush and saved by Silva between the rings. Hoffmeyer plays catch with Silva on the left, on the right side. Bush to Hoffmeyer in the circles to Bush. High post right, takes a turnaround jumper. No. Rebound, Bush has it, puts it off glass. No. Third crack, it'll be Garris getting it offensive, and then she got held up by Kelsey Griffith. Griffith has played stoutly for Waterville tonight, perhaps her best game of the season, but she's not used to playing extended minutes, and it's showing. Foul line left, Kaylee Garris trying to get past that 13-point ceiling. That's her season high. She's done it three times. And again, she breaks the free throw, first of two. Kaylee will again try to do something on this one, make it a two-point lead. Indians led by early. Second one is good and give Kaylee 14 points on the game. 35-33, Saugatuck with the lead, 2.5 to go in regulation. Schultz and pressure in the backcourt, flips it into the front court for Darby Jones. Pass deflected in the hands of McMiller, and she double dribbled. She traveled. Moved the feet for putting the ball down. 8 turnovers in the quarter. And Jeff Riley just looks skyward, puts his hands to his face. Frustration on his part, but more about his girls right now, not dealing with the pressure in a tough situation on the road against a quality opponent. Here is Bush around the defender. Foul on the floor. Griffith will get called for the foul as she will pick up her fourth, putting Bush at the line for two anyway. She made the basket, but the foul immediately called on the floor. So Morgan Bush, foul line left. First of two, Morgan with 6 tonight. Give her 7. Points off of 8 turnovers in the fourth quarter for Saugatuck. Second for Morgan. She gets the bounce on the third try. Indians by 4, 37-33. A good rally. Deflected pass. Garris almost stolen away and finally into the front court for Waterville East McMiller. Indians in the man-to-man. McMiller dribbles it left side. Stops top of the circle. Foot on the arc. Short shot. Rebound, Bush, who's played well despite 4 fouls that she got midway through the third quarter. Silva in the lane, in for Bush, pulls up for the shot, no good. Rebound, McMiller for Waterville. Down 4, minute 43 to go in regulation. Schultz deflected pass into the hands of Silva. Hoffmeyer pulls it out in the front court. And Kim Rumsa says, I need to take a timeout here. She's running the team in the teed-out absence of Kevin Tringali. 1:34 to go in regulation. Indians by 4, 37-33. I want to remind you that Saugatuck Public Schools and the Saugatuck Board of Education are committed to providing an educationally sound environment for children from birth through 12th grade. Through the efforts of dedicated staff members and a supportive school community, students are given a chance to learn and grow in a safe, nurturing environment. Through personal involvement, Saugatuck school staff provides for each student's unique needs, placing children first in order to help each child achieve his or her personal best. See, Michael's our producer. My name is Gary Stevens, and the Saugatuck Indians battled back from a 10-point deficit to now take a 4-point lead at 37-33, minute 34 to go. The arrow is Waterville's way. Indians in the double bonus. Waterville still has, Indians have a foul to give before they put Waterville into the double bonus. Oh, there's a push by Tina Moore. Got away with it on the back of Katie Schultz. Hoffmeyer picks up the dribble left side, needs help, finds in the phone to Moore, over to Silva. That's the person that the Indians want to have the basketball with right now. Silva gets a pick from Moore and a foul, a holding call against Katie Schultz. Her third. And Silva, the girl that the Indians want to have the ball in right now, has the free throws. She has a couple coming. First for Jocelyn. In and out. No good. Jocelyn with 14. Garris with 14. 8 for Morgan Bush. 1 for Kells Carenza Hoffmeyer. That's 37 points for Saugatuck. Second one coming for Silva. Trying to make it a 5-point game. Break them both. Rebound taken away by Watervliet's Wenzel. Front court for Haley. To Simmons. Left side Schultz. Triple from there. Back of the rim. No. Rebound Morgan Bush Saugatuck. 55 seconds left, and now Schultz will hold Silva in the backcourt. And there'll be free throw shooting exercises now. Schultz joins Griffith with 4 fouls for Watervliet. And we're going to get a timeout call. The Michigan Tile timeout called by Jeff Riley of Watervliet. So it's been a good one so far. The Indians basically overcoming themselves. And a second half that has been very strong for Saugatuck. After the Indians got just 3 points off of 15 Watervliet turnovers in the first half, Watervliet has coughed it up 19 times in the second half. And the Indians have scored 20 of their 37 points in the second half off of Watervliet turnovers. 19 turnovers for the Panthers. And plain and simple, early on, the Indian shots weren't falling. And now they are. And now the Watervliet Panthers, a very young team, 2 freshmen, Gore and Schultz getting extended time. Some seniors, but as we heard from Jeff Riley before the game, their seniors did not see much varsity playing time before this season. And he's a first-year coach, although he has been in the program. And it's been some learning pressures. 4-7, they're trying to prevent a 4-8 record. Silva at the line, first of 2. Got it. 15 points for Jocelyn coming off a season and team high of 20. One more coming for Silva. Knock him down. 16 for Jocelyn. Indians by 6, 39-33. Again, they were down 10. They lead by 6. 48 seconds to go in regulation as Watervliet has in the front court. Griffith trying to work around a 4-foul. Bush gets the basket. Griffith with a season high of 8. Down by 4, Watervliet, and McMiller has to foul Silva in the backcourt in order to stop the clock. So the Indians got their best free throw shooter on the line in Silva. And when it's your 5-2 guard, she's really played well after that one tough game she had last month. Misses the first one and rings off. Kim Rumsa guiding the team in the absence of Kevin Tringali was teed out in the fourth quarter. The JV coach doing a fine job. Silva, the second free throw stays on the backboard. Alternating possession goes to Watervliet. And there's a lot of smiles on that one. They're going to need, yep, here comes Celeste Weber. Let the 6'6 guy knock it down with ease. And he wants his eyes on that one. All right, 39-35, 38 seconds to go. Watervliet down 4 and with the basketball. McMiller over the timeline. She's been carrying the offensive responsibilities. They want to get her open shots. Simmons flips into a wide open. Schultz lays it up and misses the funny. Bush rebounds. Silva has the basketball. McMiller has to foul her to stop the clock with 17 seconds left. And Schultz, the freshman, looking skyward. She missed the funny layup that would have made it a 2-point game. Learning, growing pains for a young program. Silva at the line with 16 points. 17 drops the first of 2. McMiller with the foul, only her second. plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Might be a done and dusted situation. Two possession game. Saugatuck down, up by six. Water Fleet needs some threes. McMillan tries to get one. No good. Rebound. Garris. And as Bush tries to outlet out for Tina Moore, foul is in the backcourt as Bush got fouled, pushed. And the foul will be on Schultz, and Katie leaves with a season-high 15 points. She has been disqualified because of fouls. So 15-point performance for Katie Schultz. She could have had 17, which would have been a high water mark for any Water Fleet player this season. Foul line left, Bush, first of two, got it. Nine for Morgan. Indians by seven. Yep, you can say done and dusted. Second one coming for Bush. Indians by eight. 43-35, a tough one tonight. But the Indians are going to come away with their ninth victory of the season. McMillan over the timeline, dribbles to the foul line and moves his possession. This game is over. And the Saugatuck Indians score a 43-35 victory over the Water Fleet Panthers, outscoring their guests in the final 8 minutes by a score of 22-5. The Indians scored 22 points in the fourth quarter after scoring 21 for three quarters. And a big factor out of that, 12 of those 22 points came on 9 Water Fleet turnovers. The Saugatuck Indians, 9-4 on the season. More to talk about this game. It's going to be a long in-between games because we honor a state champion tonight. But we'll talk about all that when we return. You're listening to Saugatuck High Basketball on 92.7 The Band and 92.7TheBand.com. As the Saugatuck Indians boys cross-country team is honored with a state championship they won at the MIS Speedway for the state finals last fall. And state representative Bob Janetsky will handle the honors. It was a good girls' game tonight as the Saugatuck Indians rallied from 10 down in the fourth quarter, outscored the Water Fleet Panthers 22-5 in the final 8 minutes, and come away with a 43-35 victory over the Water Fleet Panthers tonight. A game that saw two lead changes, no ties, and the Indians simply out-talented their opponents on a couple of key factors, and we hope to have Kevin Dringali come up. He did not see the end of the game. He was teed out with two technicals in the fourth quarter. And JV coach Cheat Kim Rumza guided the team to the victory. But tonight the keys were Saugatuck forced turnovers throughout the game against Water Fleet. And in the fourth quarter, 9 Water Fleet turnovers turn into 12 Saugatuck points. And that was part of the fact that Saugatuck outscored their guests 22-5 in winning the game and upping their record to 9-4 on the season. Water Fleet falls to 4-8 on the campaign. Let's take a look at the scores. First of all, for the Water Fleet Panthers, leading the way tonight was freshman Katie Schultz with a season high of 15 points. But again, down the stretch, she missed an open layup that would have cut the margin to 2 and made things maybe a little bit more interesting. And Katie, a 5'10 freshman, we'll hear more from her as the years go by. She finishes with 15 points lead, Water Fleet. 8 points tonight for 6-foot senior center Kelsey Griffith, who was a big factor early on, not because of her size, but because of the fact that she really played a strong interior game. But she wore down as this game went along. Finished with 8 points. 7 points for Jaden McMillan. 2 points each for Kelsey Andres and Alyssa Rodriguez, a point for Kirsten Knight, Cassie Gore, Darby Jones, Alexa Parker, Haley Wenzel, played but did not score for Water Fleet. And again, 34 turnovers on the game. That converted to 23 Saugatuck points. And again, the litany here is the fact that Water Fleet had 15 turnovers, only 3 points against them in the first half. And you swing it the other way, 34-23 for the game, which means we're talking 19 turnovers and 20 points for Saugatuck in the second half, and that is a big factor in this game. For the Indians tonight, Jocelyn Silva led the way with 18 points at 7 points in the first quarter, but then 10 by the half and then 8 points in the fourth quarter and leading the Indians. 14 points, a season high for Kaylee Garris. 10 points for Morgan Bush and 1 point for Carenza Hoffmeyer. That is their 43 points for Saugatuck tonight. Playing without starting Grace Peterson, who was nursing an injury. They hope to have her back by Friday. Annalise Avalos and Katie Slayer saw action but did not score for the Saugatuck Indians, and neither did Christina Moore, who started for the Tribe. Indians, 24 turnovers and came up to 15 points against, but here's a fact. In the first half, Saugatuck had 15 turnovers and gave up 11 points. In the second half, only 9 turnovers and 4 points against for the Indians in the final 16 minutes. So Saugatuck with the win against the Waterville Panthers. And looking at it now, the Indians have now taken 3 of the last 4 games against Waterville. Now, this is a non-league game, so in the sense it doesn't do anything to the standings, but the Indians know that it's a tough stretch right now. They are in their schedule. And going up against Fenville at 5-8, and the only win the Fenville's had in the league has been here in Saugatuck. That's coming up Friday. And then undefeated 12-0, 7-0 Gobles on Monday before a visit by the other leading team in the SAC, the SAC South leaders, Decatur, 9-1 and 5-0. A rivalry game, a derby game on Friday, and then the two league leaders on the consecutive nights. It'll be a stern examination of Saugatuck's girls, the Saugatuck girls' qualifications as they look to get themselves ready for the state tournament in 3 weeks. As we mentioned in the first, during the game, members of the Saugatuck High boys track and field team are being honored with ring presentations during this in-between period. And head coach Rick Bauer has been talking to and talking about the accomplishments of the team. State Representative Bob Janetsky, the term limited Republican from Saugatuck, presented a proclamation from the lower chamber to Coach Bauer and the team, commending them on the accomplishment. And again, for the third time, the Saugatuck Indians have taken home a state championship. Many of the members of the boys track and field team that won the state championship last June did run in the cross country team that won the state championship at MIS back in November. The other state champion for Saugatuck came in 05 in boys golf. And so now 6 banners, 3 championships, and 3 runners-up or finalists will be adorning the gym here at Saugatuck High School. And Rick Bauer is also getting some accolades as well. The MITCA Coaches Association named him the Coach of the Year for all of the divisions in the state, and just a very strong unit for the Saugatuck Indians. Congratulations to all the members of the team and all the parents as well for their help and cooperation with that. Again, we were hopeful of having Coach Kevin Tringali make the trip up, and we have now beckoned to him, and so he will join us momentarily. Unfortunately for Kevin, he did not see the end of the girls' victory tonight, 43-35, as he was excused for a couple of tees. The frustration level over some of the fouls were called, but the Indians overcame all that and got the victory by a final score of 43-25. Kevin, I appreciate you making the coming up now. Unfortunately, we don't have the mic to swing it over to do the ceremonies about the boys' cross-country team, but accolades to them. Frustrating night, but in the end, when you outscore an opponent 22-5 in the last 8 minutes to pull out a game that the team was 10 down. Great character win tonight for the Tribe. Okay, now we got.
Sorry about that. It's a huge credit to the poise and the perseverance our team had. To Morgan, especially with four fouls, hanging in there and just battling and chipping away despite some of the stuff that happened out there. You know, they hung in there. They hung in there. I give them a lot of credit, and I got a great coaching staff.
Yeah. And Kim Rumson took over when you got teed out, unfortunately. Byproduct of the game, it happens from time to time. But you mentioned it right off the bat, and I was going to bring that up. Morgan picked up her fourth foul midway through the third. You sat her down for a little while, and then she played the last 8 minutes basically straight with four fouls and no problems.
Absolutely. We needed her. We're gambling. We're gambling. I mean, we knew we had to have Morgan to stay in the game, but we were risking her being out for sure for the remainder of the game. But she kept her poise. And, you know, she had some big baskets for us down the stretch.
I think what also helped is the fact that the girl that had given her a lot of the problems, the 6 foot senior, great first half, but you can tell she hadn't played a lot of minutes. They asked a lot of her, and she wore her down. I think that helped Morgan along those lines.
She did. Morgan wore her down, and our guards did a good job of finding Morgan late in the game, down on the block and at the elbows. And Morgan, to her credit, you know, was attacking the basket down the stretch and get us back up to the lead.
Scrappy game, but also a little frustrating early on because the shots weren't falling. And there were good shots down there, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's really been our Achilles heel this year. Again, that was a game we were fortunate enough to still squeak out. But, you know, again, I refuse to believe we're that poor of a shooting team. The girls work so hard in practice. And, we couldn't hit a thing early on, and that got us in a hole. And they're number 20. Boy, she's a great shooter. She hit a handful. The Schultz girl hit a few big threes, and, you know, next thing you know, we're down by 10 points.
And the reason I'm pointing to this other one as well,
yeah.
Grade 9. 3 more years if she continues her progress, she'll be a thorn in the South.
She is going to be a special player. Her shot is beautiful. Once she gets her ball handling going, she's going to be a force to be reckoned with for the next 4 years, no question about it.
I think a young lady that you guys are going to need to prop up a little bit this maybe in drills in a couple of days before the Fenville game is Tina Moore. Tough night for Christina.
Yeah, Tina struggled. She struggled around the basket. You know, she needs to reward herself. She works hard. We always put her on she's on their toughest person. She's the best defender down low. And, but boy, she had shot opportunities around the basket, but just couldn't find it.
All right. Nice win. The other point I want to make about this game before we move forward. First half, unofficially, I had Saugatuck forcing 15 turnovers for Waterville and only getting 3 points off of it. That changed entirely in the second half. By my count, 19 turnovers and 20 points in the second half. And 9 turnovers and 12 points in the fourth quarter alone. You've got to capitalize on turnovers in the Indians'
business. Yeah, we did. Down the stretch, we did. I thought Jocelyn played with a lot of composure down the stretch, caused a lot of turnovers. You know, they had a girl go down, and I believe she was probably their best ball handler. And Waterville, to give their credit, they hung in there the entire time, even when she went down. But our press finally got to them late in the game.
Now, Kevin Tringali, we talked about it in our pregame conversation. I'll bring it up again. It's a tough stretch coming up now. Tonight, a hard-fought character win. Derby game in Fenville. Some payback is due because Fenville's lone league win was on this floor. Then, back-to-back nights. South leader, a North leader at Goebbels on Monday. South leader Decatur comes in on Tuesday. It's a gauntlet.
Yeah, it is. This is, you know what, though? I wouldn't want it any other way. You know, like we talked about at the beginning before the game is we want to get ready and be at our best in tournament time. And you've got to play those teams. That's who you want to play. That's what's going to make you better. Not a team that's going to, you know, give you a game where you win by 20 or 30 points. But the Goebbels and Decaturs are the cream of the crop. They are just shellacking everybody. And it'll be a good test for us, and it, win or lose, it will hopefully be better for it.
However, there's a little matter of the Blackhawks on Friday night before any of that.
Well, we don't even need to say that. I mean, our girls know how important that game is. So to us. And now it's on their court, and they shot the ball extremely well when we played them last time. And like I said, it doesn't even matter the record. It's cliche, but, you know, when the Fenville and Saugatuck play, it really comes down to effort, energy, and heart.
Head Coach Kevin Tringali, thank you very much for joining us. Congratulations on your team's 43-35 victory over Waterville 8. Good luck in Fenville and in Goebbels. We'll see you a week from tonight and the Decatur Raiders.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Head Coach Kevin Tringali of the Saugatuck Indians, and we appreciate him joining us following the Indians' 43-35 girls victory over Waterville 8. When we come back, we'll start looking at the boys' contest. And it has some merits of its own to talk about as well. So stay with us. We're in high school basketball action on 92.7 The Band and 92.7TheBand.com. The Saugatuck Indians and the Waterville Panthers are two of the elite teams in the Southwestern Athletic Conference. Between them, the teams have won 17 and lost 2 of the season. Indians at 10-1, Waterville at 7-1. Both teams undefeated in their conferences. This is an cross-divisional game with Waterville 4-0 in the SAC South and Saugatuck at 5-0 in the SAC North. The Waterville Panthers under coach Aaron Toothman, featuring a very experienced lineup, very similar to Saugatuck in that way. But as you heard perhaps in our halftime of the girls game with Coach Tom Kaysen, not a particularly strong, tall team. Their tallest player is 6'3", senior Caleb Smith. But they play a very scrappy type of game, and they're expected to give Saugatuck one of its biggest challenges of the season, if not its biggest, with all due respect to a team that the Indians were punching above their weight in East Grand Rapids and the perennial state power Tri-Unity Christian in the Cornerstone Holiday Tournament back in December. But tonight's game against the Waterville Panthers, certainly going to be a quality game tonight. Far different cry than what the Indians faced on Friday night against Bloomingdale. We'll talk about that momentarily. Waterville spreads the scoring along, but at 5'9 senior Brian Alden, it'll be a challenge for Blake Dunn. He'll probably be drawing the defensive assignment. Alden's coming off a 15-point performance against Lawton. He loves playing against the Blue Devils. He scored 15 in the 73-54 win at home on Friday. This past Friday, he had 23 points in the earlier fixture between the Panthers and the Blue Devils in Lawton. Luke Traver had a season-high 17 points, the 6'2 senior, in the win against Lawton. In fact, a lot of season-highs for Waterville occurred in that game against Lawton. In a positive way, besides Alden's 15, which was close to a season high, and 17 for Luke Traver, 10 points for Caleb Smith in the game against the Blue Devils. So Alden, Smith, and Traver should be the three-prong attack that should be featured. But don't forget about R.J. Rudell. He had 12 points, the 6'1 senior. So a lot of weapons that Coach Aaron Toothman can call upon for the Panthers tonight. Before we talk a little bit more about the Panthers, I do need, whenever there's a microphone and a politician walking by, he's got to grab the microphone. That is State Representative Bob Janetsky of Saugatuck congratulating, and you put the resolution together honoring the Saugatuck High boys track and field cross-country team.
Yeah.
As a state champion.
Yeah, wow. It was a great opportunity to come back and recognize the cross-country team that won the state championship in the fall. And actually, we had a tribute left over recognizing a couple of guys that won the state, the boys' state track championship in the spring. I was in the area. I worked out on the calendar. Really glad to see a program that didn't even exist just a few years ago win the state championship.
Not just program for the track and field and cross country, but the overall athletic program. I don't want to get the ego inflated for the guy in orange across the way, athletic director Bill Dunn. But overall, all of the Saugatuck programs have really started to turn around over the last 5, 6, 7 years.
You know, Gary, I remember when the football program was in jeopardy being folded, and they actually combined it as a co-op with Holland Christian, and that season, I think, was another 0-9 effort. So to see the young athletes and really a lot of the phenomenal coaches like Rick Bauer and his wife coaching boys and girls cross country and track, Coach Dunn, and a lot of people who put in a lot of extra hours here, it means a lot to people who have been through some 0-9 seasons and some other challenges.
All right, I have to ask you some political questions, obviously.
Oh, man, it's so much fun, too.
But your colleague from Holland, Joe Hampton, chairman of the House Appropriations Committee, will be joined by his colleagues on the Senate side when Governor Snyder on Thursday presents his formal budget, his spending plan for fiscal 2015. He's let some things leak out already, some things that maybe you have to grit your teeth on, but as you saw on the AM side, you and the governor don't see eye to eye on a lot of things, but certainly something to work with.
You know what? Everything's easier when there's money. At this point, it appears as if there's somewhere in the area of a $900 million to $1 billion budget surplus spread out over three fiscal years, but it's always easier, and everybody gets along better when there's money. That doesn't mean everybody agrees where to put it, where to spend it, and how to spend it. Early on, what we're hearing about the budget is it seems as there's going to be a lot of potential election year spending initiatives.
But it's also philosophical differences. You and other Republicans saying, let's get the money back to the people.
Yeah.
And the Democrats are saying, let's get the money to the people.
Well, I would say that the Democrats are saying to get the money to the government. There's going to be some form of tax relief. The governor seems to want to target it towards, particularly towards lower and middle-income classes. We don't know exactly where that's going to go. I'm of the belief that everybody's got to be treated fairly. We've got to give some back to everybody, because keep in mind that a couple of years ago, when they in 2007, during the budget shortfall, when they increased taxes, state income tax, they increased it on everybody. And I'm of the belief, at the time we were told, it was temporary, it's going to go down. We're on the second governor with that having not gone down. I think the people have been very patient waiting for their refund.
One final thing, Bob Janetsky, as an educator with your background, and we are in an education situation, and Ralph Timmerman, the superintendent here in Saugatuck, has made his feelings known about some things that maybe you don't and he don't see eye to eye with. But education is going to be a hot button ticket for you and other lawmakers in Lansing. How do you deal with funding K-12? And more importantly, dealing with the three-headed Goliath, Michigan State, Wayne State, needing the big bulk share of their funds, saying, hey, we're big schools and we need the money.
You know, regarding the universities, we've put some strict tuition restraint language in the last couple of budgets, and already we saw Wayne State go above the tuition restraint language. They receive more money per student than even our K-12 schools, Wayne State does, from the state. So my patience for the universities is not what it may have been at one point. Regarding our K-12 public schools, they have every right to be concerned and to be willing to look out for more funding. There's a budget surplus. They took a cut when everybody else did when times are tough. It's going to be put back, but I think the governor's going to want to be a little more specific as to where and how that goes.
Bob Janetsky, I know I had to talk some shop with you about politics, but we're here for a lot of fun, and congratulations to the Saugatuck High Boys cross-country team for a state championship. You had a resolution that you handed to them from the legislature as well, another accolades, and it's kind of fun to this part of the job is fun.
It's the fun part of the job. What a neat speech there by Clayton Springer, captain of the team. I can tell he's going places, I'm told. He might follow the previous runners who are all up at CMU right now, two or three of them on scholarship, and neat to see these programs do well. It's good to be back home.
All right. Thank you very much, Bob Janetsky. I'll talk to you soon. And, of course, you can hear Bob Janetsky on our AM station, 1450 WHDC, once every month on Duke Benos on Talk of the Town. All right. Enough about that. On 1450 WHDC, you can see Bob Janetsky. By the way, you're listening to 92.7 The Van, WYBN, Saugatuck, Holland. My name is Gary Stevens. And let's get back to the banner at hand. That is high school basketball, Saugatuck and Waterville-Leet. And we were previewing Waterville-Leet coming in. And I do have to make one more thing about that before we take our next break, is the fact that in this series, Saugatuck has won four of the last six, but when the teams last met down there, it has been 3 years since the 22nd of February of 2011. Water Blade scored a 62-56 win. Last time the two teams met here, it's been a while. Hasn't been since December 15th of 09. Saugatuck beat the Panthers by 20, 50-30. We'll take a look at Saugatuck High next. The Indians boys against the Panthers of Water Blade. Girls game went Saugatuck's way by a final score of 43-35. You're listening to Saugatuck High Basketball on 92.7 The Van.